Congress is not expected to meet about coronavirus relief measures again until at least after Labor Day. And that means that there is no clear game plan to help tens of millions of people who are unemployed. And as people search for work, we wanted to take a look at what the future might look like. Let's bring in Jane Oates, a former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Employment and Training under the Obama administration. She's now president of the nonprofit Working Nation. Jane, welcome to Here and Now.
Tanya, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
We've received letters from people who are unemployed. They're sharing stories with us about not being able to get back pay. What's your sense of how widespread of a problem this is and how it's being managed?
Well, I think it's a national problem, and it's so hard to really be angry with the state level people who are processing these claims because they're just overwhelmed. And we as a nation have just not invested in the kinds of improvements in their technology to enable them to be ready for something like this. They've been budget cut. I think what I would say is how we can fix it for the really important people, the people who are waiting for their cash benefit, is to make sure they don't make any mistakes when they do their initial claim. Because literally, this is a process where a comma instead of a period can put you back at the end of the line. So really be fastidious when you're applying for your claim. And then I would suggest to people that if they've really had tremendous difficulty, they've waited weeks, they haven't been able to get an answer, they don't know whether they're eligible or not, to try to go to an intermediary, someone like the workforce, the public workforce system, to get a professional's advice on what they could do next. And if they don't know, they don't feel comfortable doing that, going to an organization like Goodwill, really active third-party organizations who assist people when they just seem to have, you know, a problem that they can't solve on their own.
Food service and retail workers are groups that you're really worried about. What are your biggest concerns about their futures?
So selfishly, I worry about them because they're disproportionately women and, quite frankly, disproportionately women of color. And women of color particularly have, when they've suffered downturns in the economic sphere, it's been really slow for them to come back. And easy to understand, right? Women who work in food service like the flexible schedules because they can work around their life schedule, their children's schedule. And now, as they're let go, many of them, you know, I'm sure you've seen the numbers, but, you know, there were over 3 million people who in March thought they were furloughed, but now they realize their job isn't coming back. Yeah. And the 3 million that were in that situation between March and the beginning of July, I'm sure that number is just going to grow. Small restaurants aren't able to reopen. They just don't have the cash. And larger entities are closing some of their locations. So I think that these men and women, of course, who are in these positions really didn't have a lot of reserve anyway because they weren't very well paid. Even managers in this sector, you know, don't in many states don't surpass the state median income. So these are folks who didn't have a lot of reserve, who didn't know how much they could get on unemployment, now may have exhausted their unemployment and there's no jobs available for them.
Yeah. You know, a lot of young people also work in these food and retail sectors. Their group hit hard economically by this pandemic. I'm noting that you worked during the recession when millennials were hit hard. What do you worry about most for Gen Zers as we think about future job prospects?
You know, Tanya, they've already gone through a tough time this spring. Very few summer jobs open for them this summer. And many of them had job prospects lined up or internships, and they didn't end up becoming a reality. So as these young people enter the workforce, you know, they're starting out on a 4 or 5 decade career. If they can't get those job skills now, when are we going to make sure they learn those skills? When are we going to make sure they have those experiences? Because if we don't as a country take care of these young people, we're going to be paying that price for decades to come. You know, I hope they're as resilient as they seem. I hope they're really looking at some of the options that are open to them and taking advantage of those.
Well, Jane, how do we begin to do all of this in the midst of a pandemic?
Well, a good friend who is with Burning Glass, Matt Siegelman, coined a phrase, lifeboat jobs. And what he meant by that was the fact that this might be the time that you take a job that you never thought you would want to be in and use it for the short term to build skills and pay your bills and show future prospective employers that you had the grit and the resilience to do something with yourself during this pandemic. So a great example is the job that we've never heard of before the pandemic, and that's a contact tracer. Nobody ever wants to see themselves going into a career of calling people and asking who they were with before they knew they were infected. But this is a great job. I mean, it brings in tech. It shows that you have digital literacy and digital skills. It brings in your communication skills, and it really gives you a leg up in what I think for every worker that's out of work right now is a sector they should take a look at, and that's healthcare. I mean, there are not only the traditional jobs that we've always known in healthcare, but there are new job titles being developed nearly every month in that space that might be interesting to you as an out of work person right now.
What other practical tips should we consider? I just spoke with a former busser at a casino in Las Vegas. He had been working in a restaurant for 24 years, laid off. Now he's thinking about what his future holds for the last few years that he has to work before he is eligible for retirement.
So for that casino bus, the busser in the casino, I mean, he obviously had great communication skills. He had to be able to talk to people, you know, to figure out what were the right things to take off tables and what weren't. He also had to be a good relationship manager. He had to both manage with the public and he had to manage all the variety of job titles within a casino. And those folks are really masterful at multitasking. There's nobody who does that better than someone who's a gifted employee in the service industry. So I think that's the first step I would take. Really list out what are the transferable skills that you have, not for a particular job, but all the skills that you had. And then as you use labor market information to look at the jobs in demand in your local area, then try to match those transferable skills with skills that you think might be required in this new job or are actually listed in the job application.
You know, Jane, over and over again, we're hearing that many times people who are unemployed just want to be heard. I can imagine that it's so frustrating just for someone who is trying to get through on the phone to file for unemployment, for instance. They want to be acknowledged. How can friends and family, and even those who are still employed, be more supportive during these tough times?
Well, I think family and friends need to be reflective listeners, need to make sure that when that unemployed friend or family member is talking to you, you're not being judgmental, you're not being negative. You're instead saying, I know how you feel, and I'm so glad I'm not in that situation, but how can I help you? So there are real ways they can help besides just being that good listener. They can review some of the materials that they may be submitting. So they might look at their resume and give them real feedback about it. Or they may look at their cover letter or the email that they're sending when they attach their resume for a prospective job. And of course, the job seeker, you know, has to be ready to hear that. You have to be able to accept advice and sometimes constructive criticism and be open to new ideas. So I would say, everybody's confused about what the new normal is going to be. And I think that means a lot more people will be looking to hire temporary help through agencies rather than incur a full-time employee with benefits.
So much here. Jane Oates is a former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Employment and Training during the Obama administration. She's now president of the nonprofit Working Nation. Jane, thank you.
Thank you, Tanya, so much, and keep up your good work.